the Rover app. You can hear all about Thane's comb over non-stop with Thane and Dunk 24/7. Rover, Channel 51. Download now. R-O-V-A.
The Rock.
Security Ideas with your host, Thane Kirby.
And a very good afternoon. Thane Kirby here with Security Ideas.
Would you say your family is not just your own personal, I mean your extended family, are they pretty security conscious?
Everyone is in my family, yes.
So you come from a long line of...
No, don't leave the door open. Don't trust the neighbours. What's that noise? Who are those guys over there? Yeah.
What sort of weapons you got under your bed at the moment?
Baseball bat. Thinking about a taser. How do you buy a taser? Can you buy one?
Oh, look, I don't know if I can say without us getting in trouble. It is. I think it is possible. There's just a certain way you've got to do it. And right. I don't think I should say that on the radio.
Fair enough. Tell me off the radio. I respect that.
But I would go... I don't think I'd go a taser because that's the one that fires like the cops use. I would go more like a stun gun if I was going to... I mean, if I was getting my hands on a lead or
something. No, one of those little ones that are like a little shaver, you know? And you just
that's
hit
a stun gun.
Yeah.
And it cracks across there like...
That's what I was
talking about. You picked it the wrong house!
That's it.
And it's dark and all they can see is the lightning.
Last thing I want is them robbing my beautiful big screen television and then me, you know, with the... Bzzz, and then me going to jail or getting a, you know, conviction because I've assaulted them.
Yeah, well, we had Johnny Kay, our lawyer, on yesterday, and he was saying you've just got to do a citizen's arrest. If someone is in your house and they're burgling your house, you've got to just yell out, "This is a citizen's arrest," and then hold them there while you call the cops.
I've only got two suggestions, but they're rather good. You want to hear them?
Okay, so this is Thane's security suggestions.
Here we go. Suggestion number one. Mm. This is for the car. What you do is you handwrite, badly handwrite, a little note and put it in your glove box and say, "Congratulations, you just made my day. I'm a Mongrel Bob member and you've just stolen my car. Return it immediately or it's going to kill you and your family." That's pretty fair. That's fair.
Oh my God.
Old, exactly.
Thane black is power. Coming in hot.
Maybe go black power. Whatever is in vogue. Just go through the New Zealand Herald and have a look. Oh my God. Oh, you want one for the home? Here's one for the home.
Okay. Yeah, these are unorthodox. You did warn.
Yeah, they are unorthodox. They're right.
I feel like your car's not going far if you're going to do that. I mean, it's pretty effective.
It's real effective.
In fact, they'll probably leave $20 in your seat for the gas money.
Oh, totally they will. They'll abandon that car straight away. The one for the home? Tongan flag, mate. Throw a Tongan flag on your letterbox. No one's going to rob that.
There is so many Tongan flags off cars and stuff at the moment.
That's
you're going to Tongan flag or stop it?
Mate, no mad dog's going to go in a house that's flying a Tongan flag. You're going to think twice, right? I mean, think about the guys with the Tongan flags on their cars. That's a security alarm right there, right there. No one's going to mess with the crazy Tongan flags on cars. So anything you want to protect, put a Tongan flag on it.
Do you know that actually funny you say that? Because during the Rugby World Cup in 2011, we were on a quite a busy street in central Auckland with Flatim. And we decked out the outside of our house and everyone was doing it with All Blacks flags.
Right.
But I was like, oh, some bastards are going to come past them when they're drunk and nick them.
Yeah.
So I put one of those Tino Teratanga flags, the Māori flag up there.
Oh, gotcha, yeah.
And they were there the whole time.
No one's going to steal one of those.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, what about a Pirates flag? You reckon people will take a Jolly Roger seriously?
No, Halloween, kids' birthday parties, they don't hold no mana.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So, if you've got some wacky ideas for home security, then why don't you pass them on? 352 on the text, 0100 Rock Phone.
Yeah, just unorthodox like Thane's one. Any other ones that you can just sort of set in place and they aren't going to get you arrested, I guess.
Yeah, Nanny always used to leave the talkback radio on Radio Pacific in the background while she went out. You know, that puts people off. And putting a threatening letter that you're a gang member inside your, cleverly, just nicely inside your glove box. And when they go through your stuff, they find that, they're going to freak out, dump your car.
That is a great one if you've got one of those highly desirable cars, you know, like an old classic or a hot rod or a vintage or whatever. Because they're the ones that are easiest to break into.
Oh, totally.
GPS is pretty cheap now these days. You can get them screwed. It runs off like a SIM card and you have to charge it like once a month and you can stick a GPS under your car like, you know, James Bond would back in the day.
I see those magazines where they say, you know, a little bit of a chip and you can put it in somebody's backpack or you can put it in their car and you go, so what do you love so much that you want to track it?
Thinking, oh, geez, that's creepy.
Real creepy.
We're going there.
Unusual security methods. You want to get a couple of texts or so? Take the rock phone.
We'll get the phones first.
Okay, Adam, what's your unorthodox security method?
My sister was a hairdresser, and one thing she brought back from her course was a mannequin head. So we used to do different sorts of makeup on it and take it on adventures. But one of our coolest ideas was to put it in the front window and just leave the front curtain just ajar, so it looked like someone was just peeping out there.
Can I let you know something, mate? That was very popular in the 1940s and 1950s. When your husband went to war, they would sell mannequins at the shop that would hold a cigarette, and you would sit them in your front lounge with the light on like there was a man in the house.
Really?
Yeah, my grandmother used to have one.
A friend of mine, her dad moved into a new house, her and her partner, and he got a spare set of work boots, big chunky, you know, work boots, put them on the front porch, and, well, no one ever went there, I guess, so...
Can we just go back to mannequin chat? It doesn't pop up too often on the radio show. This is something we did for, I think we had like a gangster rap party at our flat, and everyone dressed up as rappers. And we decided we wanted to have gin and juice getting poured out of a mannequin's belly button.
So I'd be there.
So we purchased the way we did it, and it's like a giant goon sack. It's bloody good. We got a torso of a mannequin with a head. We called it Shaniqua. Put a flat peak cap and an afro on her, and then we put a tap into her belly button, and then we ran clear tubing out onto the roof of the flat, and then it was joint to one of those solar showers.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
So we had 9 litres of gin and juice, and we just rolled, I think, 2 to 1, so a bottle of gin and 2 litres of juice until the thing filled up. And I'll tell you what, nothing gets the party started like a full Shaniqua of gin and juice.
Shaniqua of gin and juice.
I love it.
Our mannequin was Doris.
Great name.
Yeah.
Great name. Oh, yeah. So, honestly, it's a hell of a way to get gravity-fed bulk alcohol into a party as the solar share.
I'm sure Shaniqua loved it.
Yeah, we retired her after one outing. She looked a bit haggard the next morning.
I bet.
I bet. Someone probably mistook her for an actual girl at the party.
White girl wasted. Thanks very much, Adam. Appreciate it.
No worries. Have a good day, guys.
See you, man.
See you, mate. Ordinary Phil, you can get us an unusual security device, you reckon?
Yeah, bro, I can probably get you a taser if you guys are really looking for one.
Yes, please. Two for one. Let's do it, man.
Yeah, obviously, tasers are illegal in New Zealand. How are you getting your hands on these?
Oh, you know, I've got a special mate that works at the Mangere Flea Market, my bro.
I went to the flea market in, I think it was East Hamilton once, and they had machetes for sale on a Sunday morning. Like 40 of them stacked up.
But okay. You can find it all at the markets, lads. You know, bro, they got like all sorts of stuff. You just got to know the right people's boy.
Okay, well, hey, we'll put us down for one. We'll buy one this week.
Hang on. Let's not put that on the record. This is what we're putting on the record. Thane's going to talk to you off here.
Yeah, Brett, sounds good.
Okay, mate, thank you very much.
Okay, he's just dead set serious.
So am I.
Someone else has texted saying, if you're worried about a flatmate going into your room, put a piece of paper on the top of your door. When they open the door, the piece of paper will fall off on the ground. And then you'll be able to call them up on it when you come home. Another sign for your house as well. This house is protected by a 12-gauge shotgun. 4 out of 7 nights. You can try and guess which 4 if you want.
Ooh, very
good. That's quite good. Okay. Someone's saying the baseball bat under your bed is actually a really bad idea because the intruder can catch it and then take you on with it. What you actually want is a handsaw under your bed because when they try and catch that, they cut their fingers off.
Great idea.
Yeah.
See, that's sick. This is why we did the segment, for that piece of gold there.
Hard to explain a baseball bat under your bed. You can explain a handsaw saying you'll do some DIY.
There you go.
Oh, mate, just bloody tending to the floorboards.
Thane and Dunks drive home.
The Rock.
So we decided that crowdfunding's awesome, except a lot of the stuff out there, it's pretty droopy jaws stuff on crowdfunding. Mm. Great causes and stuff, but why not flip it on its head and be a little bit more greedy with crowdfunding?
All the media crowdfunding's like, you end up going, oh, that poor lady. Oh, I hope she pulls through.
We want the feeling after this crowdfunding of the Rock Drive show to be like, oh, that lucky bugger.
I would like to go, oh, that bastard, but respect.
Respect. What a great idea that
was. Awesome. Why didn't I think of that?
So if it goes well, let's say, the thing costs $7,000 and we get 7,000 listeners just to donate a dollar. Then we'll just keep doing it again and again and again. Just keep crowdfunding epic stuff for rock listeners. So this is the sort of things that got sent through. You say a lower priced item, but there can be, you know, a couple of grand. a sick swing. Someone else texted in wanting to get an adult bouncy castle just to do wrestling matches in their backyard.
If both of those get through, The Rock will supply the spray and wipe. Free of charge. It's all yours.
A hydro slide and swimming pool in their backyard. We were chatting to a guy, Liam, yesterday, wanted to fly to Canada and meet his dad for the very first time, his biological father in 25 years. Some other guy just wants us to pay for his helicopter license. That's about 100 grand, I think.
All right, let's zoom off to The Rock phone. What do you want us to crowdfund for?
Mate, I want a full set of scuba diving gear to go and get myself crays and powers and stuff, full with it, including the little mini handheld submarine.
Oh, those things. Yeah, they're cool. I first saw one of those, like Mitch Buchanan using one of those on Baywatch.
And he had the little handheld one-use air canister thing.
That's right.
You're pulling the wool over our eyes. You're from a drug cartel, aren't you? I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, I want a full submarine for that.
Okay, Ryan, hold there, mate. We'll grab your details and we'll chuck you in the mix. Diving equipment is bloody expensive. I can see why he wants us to pay for it.
Hello, is that Kyla?
Yes, speaking.
What do you reckon?
Yeah, I would like a shipping container.
So what are they worth, about $3,000 or something?
Yeah, $3,000 or $5,000.
What do you want to do with it?
Move to Australia.
Oh, you're just up and leaving. So we'd essentially be crowdfunding you to get the hell out of New Zealand.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. You sound like a nice person. I don't know if I'd like to. Why do you want to go to Aussie?
Oh, just a bit of lifestyle, isn't it?
A ton of bloody guts in New Zealand, Duncan, that's all.
Both my sisters live over there, and you know the Aussie government does absolutely bloody nothing for Kiwis over there. They don't get superannuation, they don't get a whole bunch of stuff like funding for education, all sorts.
Oh, well, I'm looking forward to it anyway.
All right, we'll put you in the lot there, Kyla, thank you. And who we got there for the crowdfunding? What do you need? What do you want?
I am looking for a $10,000 gaming rig, computer and webcam setup so that I can give up my 9-to-5 job and become a full-time internet streamer.
Sensible. Sensible. Money-making opportunity.
A full-time internet streamer.
Yeah, so basically I play games and I get other people to watch online and make donations because they think I'm a good
Does that happen? People just donate money to you to play the game?
Yeah, mate. People legitimately make a very, very handsome earning doing this. Most of them are relatively well set up professional gamers to begin with, but people have been known to make it pretty big doing it.
Yeah. I get you. What sort of money are you talking?
I've seen a particular streamer who made $5,000 overnight while he slept because he had audio donations set to $100 a pop. And his fan base basically wanted to piss him off and make sure he didn't sleep that entire night. So they bombarded him with $100 donations to play the most awkwardly scary and loud audio clips in order to try and wake him up while he's sleeping. And, yeah, walked away with $5,000 overnight.
Oh, my God, that's ridiculous.
I watch a gamer online who just is an online pokies guy, and they're very interesting. And he just takes these ridiculous bets, and then people can pay him to take bets. And they take sharing the profit and stuff. It's very good. Addictive watching.
It's a combination of that and just the shit-talking, you know, the banter.
Yeah, banter's good.
Everybody that's watching can chat with him and that sort of stuff as well.
There's an opportunity here. The guy's only after 10K. All right, I'll park you over there. Get back to you.
Jeez, that's interesting.
Yeah, I'll say, man.
3520, just a couple more texts come through. My dog Rocky would love a pimped out outdoor area for him to spend his final days. Of course, it would need to be fenced, have a sound system for him to listen to The Rock, a shaded area with a couch, entertainment and bar area, and a barbecue so I can join him when I get home. Sounds a lot like Leanne, you want that for yourself, not so much the dog, but whatever. That's what you're after. This is what it's about. Be a little bit selfish. Someone else is saying, you might have seen it on, apparently they did a story on stuff on it, but a picnic table raft that has a smaller outboard engine on it, but these guys want to knock a 60 horsepower engine on the back of it for this summer break.
Good times.
On a floating picnic table.
Oh, I love it.
That's pretty cool.
That's real cool.
And I mentioned it before, but also I'm liking the look of, and we'll keep them coming through, 0800 Rock Phone. You can text 3520 if you don't get through on the phones. But the hovercraft that they want to add wings to. Love it.
Wow. Dynamic stuff. Harriet, welcome to the show.
Hi.
What is your crowdfunding idea?
Well, I have, over the past few years, lost probably over 20 kgs now. So my boobs aren't really where they used to be.
Oh, okay.
I would love to be able to go to Thailand and get a lift and implant.
What's that going to sting you when you go to Thailand? It's quite cheap, isn't it?
Yeah, it can be. I think the list makes it a little bit more. So maybe I'm looking at around $9,000, maybe.
$9,000, okay.
New boobs to Harriet. By the way, former rock roadie as well, and now a tattoo artist in the Tron.
Oh, nice. Excellent.
What's the tattoo shop you're working at?
Good Honest Tattoos in Dinsdale.
Back to the breasts, Harriet. So what happened? So we're just a little deflated. You've lost a lot of weight, and so they've just drooped or dropped a little. What's the story?
Yeah, they're kind of empty set.
Right, okay.
What?
It's in a nice picture in your head.
Okay, obviously they're making you a bit self-conscious.
Yeah, like I don't go to the beach and wear a bikini and things. None fit anyway.
Right. Okay.
So what?
I go over and they fall out of my bra kind of thing.
Okay.
What sort of size are you going to be rocking?
I'll probably stay within a frame of me, so maybe around a D double D.
Oh, boy, that's... Wow, okay. That's great. That's a great size. Harriet, that's an awesome size. I instantly support this. I think this is great.
It'd be bloody good for you as well, but another good option to throw in the mix as well. So what we're going to do, Harriet, is after 5:30 tonight, we're going to announce our five finalists. And then we'll put it to a vote for the Rocklisters and they can decide which one we'll crowdfund, and then we'll just push it on air. Everyone can smash the crowdfunding. We'll get the money raised for whoever takes it out, and you could be off to Thailand to get some new boobs.
Well, it'll be amazing, and then I can put pictures up and document it so you guys will get to see as well.
All right, great. That was my next question.
We're going to need proof.
Yeah.
We don't want you just
it went where it was supposed to.
We don't want you just go put the $9,000 into the pokey machines or something.
No.
So you're going to do a little before and after?
Yeah, I've already taken before photos and stuff, so
okay.
Just all ready right. For the after ones now.
Well, we'll do this without being too creepy because, you know, it's more than just breasts for you. And so, yeah, you know, we're going to return your self-esteem when it comes to your chest. So good luck for tonight.
Thank you.
So the phones have been jamming up. We've had so many texts, more texts than we've had all bloody year put together in the last 2 days.
That's true.
And we've decided on four that we would like to put up for a vote. You guys will then get to vote as to which one you would like to see crowdfunded by the Rocklisters. And all I'm talking about is like you log on to the link, chuck a dollar down. You make some lucky Rocklisters dreams come true. And then we fill it up again.
I was part of the voting process to get our four finalists here, and I went for fun. I went for reckless abandon. I went for unpredictability. I was looking for those type of angles. You know, I don't want to save the world. I want to make the world a more fun place. / dangerous.
Yeah, and I didn't want run-of-the-mill either. Mm. I mean, what I've realised, though, geez, we need to start giving away some more classic cars. There's so many of you guys that have got these dream cars that you're either working on in your garage or you just got an idea of what you want one day if you win lotto or whatever. So we're going to look at doing that next year. But right now, these are your four finalists. Finalist number one, Liam, who called us yesterday. He wants to fly to Canada to meet his biological father for the very first time. He's now 25. So that was quite a nice one, we thought. Pretty weird not been living quarter of a century and not ever meeting your own father.
That's got the feel-good factor.
Mm. Option two is Daniel, who wants to put wings on his hovercraft. He's in Paraparam.
And why not? I mean, we've always wondered what will happen with wings on a hovercraft.
And now we get to find out. And we'll be there filming, and it'll be going straight on YouTube and probably going to be a smash hit. And finalist number three. After losing 20 kg, Harriet, a tattoo artist from the Waikato, wants new boobs. They've sagged and she just wants just a new get up. She's talking D's or double D's or something.
Note, only boob entry. Come on, guys.
And finalist number four is Vaughn, who would like to put a 60 horsepower outboard engine on the back of a floating picnic table.
We're hooked up in the marine department.
There's your four options. We're going to upload the photo for voting through the Rock Drive Facebook page. Get cracking and let us know what you think as far as which one we should champion. We'll do it. We'll knock it out of the park, and hopefully we get to do it again.
The Rock Drive Home with Thane and Dunk.
It's time for the average New Zealander to celebrate the good-looking ones. If you see someone hot in traffic, let us know. What they're driving, what they look like, where they are, and a cheesy pickup line. We'll add it to today's human traffic report. You might just hook up.
Respect, what a voice.
Woo! All right, get them into us. The keyword is human. Send your human traffic reports up to 3520 as we celebrate the good-looking people of New Zealand for another afternoon.
to the guy in the red Holden ute at the mechanic shop in Blenheim, you can check under my hood anytime.
Ooh, human traffic.
Nice start.
Hey guys, hope you're having a great one. For the hottie in the traffic thingy you do, I passed your roadie today heading up Saddle Hill in Dunedin. She's a tasty little morsel, isn't she? Wouldn't mind having a bite of her from the guy on the motorbike.
Ooh, human traffic.
To the hot brunette in the Nissan Tilda, or Tita, in New Lynn, you are looking fine as hell. Let's wait out this traffic jam in the back seat of your car.
Human traffic.
To the girl in the blue Swift on Hewlett's Road from the guy in the green rotor behind you, you're making me want to bust a wheel nut.
Ooh, human traffic.
Hot brunette. Oh, I did the Tilda. To the bald-headed guy in the black Ramset car in Invercargill, you can ram my seat anytime.
To the smoking hot blonde in the white Lancer in Papakura, you can open up for my, or can you open it up for my little Mitzi to enter your garage?
Ooh, human traffic.
To the bearded lady driving the blue TIS ute in Inglewood Taranaki, I'd like you to measure and control me.
Ooh, human traffic.
Oh, I don't know if I can read out that last one. No, I'll flag that.
All right, let's move on, everybody. You the man.
And if you heard yourself on human traffic, text us on 3520. We can hook you up with the person that told us how hot you were.
Thanks for keeping it dangerous, New Zealand.
Thane and Dunk.
He's a Kiwi legend who's rowing 4,200 kilometres from Singapore to Australia, then cycling 4,000 kilometres across that country, only to row another 2,000 kilometres across the Tasman to New Zealand. Here he is, Grant Axe Rawlinson.
Grant Rawlinson, welcome back to the show, mate.
How are you going, guys?
Yeah, we're very well. And you've had a couple of days to rest us after getting your feet back on land?
Yes, that's right. I've had 48 hours back on shore. I've had one hot shower, two nice sleeps, half a bottle of wine and six cans of beer.
Bring us up to speed on what's gone down.
Look, so I left Coffs Harbour 25 days ago in my ocean rowing boat to try and finish off the final stage of the journey and row across the Tasman to New Zealand. Things went fairly well for the first 7 days, made great progress. My plan was to basically to head south first, about 20 miles off the coast of Australia, but drop south about 300 or 400 nautical miles in a big current stream called the East Australian Current. And to cut a long story short, on around about day 8 or 9, I needed some good weather, and I got hit in a massive storm, a massive low depression formed almost right over me, and I got smashed by over 40 knots of wind for 48 hours, and I got pushed much further north than I wanted to. The boat capsized, but it's designed to do that, so we're okay, but it was very stormy, and I got carried hundreds of miles up north again.
Wow. So we're cancelling the brass band and fireworks for you when you arrive then?
Don't cancel it, mate, just postpone it.
Okay,
you know,
great.
Look, I've been doing this for a lot of years now, and I never got to the summit of Everest on my first attempt, and I never got to the summit of Mount Cook on my first attempt. So it's not all over yet. It's just a setback.
Geez, your wife must be happy you made the call to come back, and that, you know, you're because some people get what they, you know, same as Everest, I guess they call it summit fever, where they just are so hell bent on making it across or making it up that they just push on regardless of all the warning signs.
Oh, absolutely, and you know, one thing I kept reminding myself every single day when I was out there was just trying to keep making good decisions the whole time, even when you're getting really tired. You know, even though I didn't make it to New Zealand, to get back from a position of 250 nautical miles, you know, that's over 400 kilometres offshore, to manage to salvage the boat and make it all the way back into shore safely again, really feels like a small victory in the bigger scheme of things.
Because I was reading a couple of your blogs and stuff, so for those to imagine what it was like, it's pretty hard to, but you were in the front cockpit of the rowboat and you were getting battered around. You basically had to have your feet on one side of the cockpit and then your arms holding you up on the other side and just push so you didn't get smashed around as much.
That's right, and I actually have a strapping system inside the cockpit, so when it got really rough, I actually lay right down. I have some rugby gear, which I strapped on my head, and I strapped myself in. And, of course, this is pitch dark at night, right? So, you know, you're lying there in the dark when these breaking waves are just coming in, smashing you one after the other, and then
fortunately, I was well prepared for the capsize. I was all strapped in, and when we went upside down, I didn't hit the ceiling, but I was, well secured.
Did you have a little Wilson on board? You know that Tom Hanks movie? He's got that little soccer ball. Do you have like a little memento that gives you that strength to go, I've got to find something quickly?
I didn't actually have a Wilson, but I take lots of photographs of the family and the girls with me when I'm out there. Physically, it's tough, but absolutely 100%. The mental battle is much, 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 much harder being out there by yourself completely, dealing with every situation that comes along. There's lots of sharks out there, and the water's quite rough and it's quite cold. So, you know, when you're doing that stuff by yourself day after day after day and you're being swept a few hundred miles off course, it's a real battle to keep positive, but managed to work through it. And, I'm back on shore safely.
All right, so what's the plan from here on out? You take a bit of a break over the Christmas sort of period and then reassess it?
Exactly right. I'm going to take a break, get the boat out of the water. She's bleeding and bruised. And I have a whole team of people with me in the background on this expedition, and I need to go and sit down with them and replan a strategy and see when we'll be ready and in position to make a second attempt.
Well, outstanding. We'll keep following you on all your social platforms and stuff, and we'll get you back on when things start kicking into gear again.
Thank you very much, guys. Really nice to talk to you.
No worries. Great. You've got our full support. All the best.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Fane and Dunk. The Rock.
All right, one of the most interesting guests we've had in the studio all year. We randomly got sent a bit of a poster of what he's been up to through our email address, and we thought, oh, yeah, next time he's coming through Auckland, we'll grab him in the studio.
Sam, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, very, very good, thanks. Just come up from Raglan, so feeling nice and relaxed.
Oh, awesome. Now, you're a barber, and you're giving your time, you're touring the country. Let us know the story. What's going on then?
Yeah, so I travel around in my 1971 Bedford. That's what we live in, and cool. We've got a caravan on the back. That's our barber shop. And we swap shaves and haircuts for goods and services. So instead of people giving us money, they just give us some food or some petrol. We use that time to talk to men about communication and mental health.
Have you had to go hungry yet, or is it just like a screaming success? First question from two chunky radio broadcasters.
There's definitely times where we're scraping around the car trying to find another 10 cents to get a pie. Yeah. So that's a real reality. But might be hungry 1 week, but the next week we'll be giving a whole bunch of food to Food Bank because we've got too much.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, so. Sweet. So how'd the idea come about?
I'm over the idea of you know, working nine to five and getting paid a paycheck. It doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me. But also, and I guess from a bigger point of view, I have had a few friends suicide. And just seeing all of them being male, all of them having same
kind of issue.
Yeah, let's hope not. It's more communication, though. Right. Like, and that's a big thing. So we're just pushing communication between us guys because that's what we don't do.
Yeah. And there's nothing more relaxing than getting a haircut and having a chat.
Yeah, you hope so.
You know?
Yeah.
Sometimes it can be annoying if you're not in a chat mode.
Yeah.
But when you are and you're talking about, you know, yourself, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and especially us blokes, you know, the barber's chair is a place that we do that historically. We always have.
Yeah, and I like the fact now when you go to the barber's now, quite often there'll be just a beer there and most of the time you do feel like talking. Some of the barbers around the country, some of the stuff that they hear, they must be like, they're the right people to be training up for this sort of stuff, I reckon.
Oh, yeah, there's the old joke, if I went out of barbering, I'd go into blackmail.
Do you get run out of town? Oh, no, here's those gypsies heading into town again. Lock up your silverware.
It's such a good cause, you can't.
Yeah, no, it's good. And people are getting really on board with it, you know, because all they have to do is bring down anything to trade, you know, and we're getting heaps of cool handmade things.
Cool.
And people bring us into their communities, you know, because with the trade thing, there's no socioeconomics there. It doesn't matter if you've got lots of money or you've got no money, you can still kind of engage, which is cool.
Yeah. Okay.
And so, where are you heading to next?
So at the moment, we've got the van up in Big Brown Industries in North Shore, getting it wrapped, getting all our graphics done, and then we're around the Coromandel for the next couple months. And at the moment, we're just trying to trade an engine, because, it's a 50-year-old engine, towing a lot of weight.
Has it got the 186 or the 202 on it?
No, mate, it's got a 1.8 slant.
Oh,
yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, they were made for, like, post trucks. Originally, so we're trying to get a 202 in there. Trying to find one around the country to trade for a haircut. So if anyone's got a 202 that needs a haircut, you just give me a call, eh?
Oh, mate, you're talking to the right people.
What's your phone number? You actually literally are talking to the right people.
Just text us 3520 if you've got an old 202 sitting around and you want to donate to a good cause, because Sam's obviously spreading the good word about mental health and awareness and suicide prevention in New Zealand. So be a GC, 3520. Let's get them sorted out. And if people want to help out you with your journey, what's the best way to do that?
Jump on our Facebook, the Barda Barber Facebook. So that's facebook.com/TheBardaBarber. We're going to be setting up a give a little soon. And that's just going to help with the engine swap. But other than that, just come along. And if you want to get on the course, call your dad. Give your dad a call.
Nice.
Say how you're doing. Give your uncle a call. Give your brother a call, you know, because it means a lot just to get that phone call to say, how you doing?
Do you know what? I've noticed that, especially with my mates as well. In this day and age, you actually don't pick up the phone and call. Like, it's a lot of my Christchurch mates. I only talk to them when I bump into them if I'm down there for work or whatever. But you actually don't, like the old days. You don't pick up the phone and be like, oh, shit, I might give them a call and see what's happening. It's literally you just follow their lives through Facebook or Instagram.
It's always the best bits, isn't it, on the Facebook and the Instagram.
And it's not a good indication. People don't pick up the phone and put a random phone call through. Like, and even now, I find if I go to do it, I'll go, oh, I should give him a text first to see if he's okay to talk. It's like, shit, just pick up the phone and talk to them.
In my day, Sunday was visiting day. You were either going visiting or people would be visiting you. So you'd sit at home and there would be a brunch crowd, a late afternoon crowd, and then an evening crowd visiting. We'd have three or four lots of friends come around.
Yeah.
Or we'd go around
anymore.
The house. No one's going visiting anymore.
We're way more isolated now, you know, with the little screen, with all that kind of thing. You know, we live through this kind of social media world, and what we're losing, especially us guys, is that time that we are together and doing things with our hands, you know, because that's how we communicate. We don't sit down with a cup of tea and be like, bro, I'm having a real bad time. It's not the way we work. We have to go and, you know, fix a car, go surfing, go hunting. It's during that time when we turn around and go, bro, you're right.
Yeah.
You know, because it's that bro that you're right.
Yeah.
That's what we're missing now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sam, we support you.
Hey,
if you need anything
so
from
much.
Us, yeah, let us know, please. And if you can help Sam out as he goes around the country, please do so. Look out for him.
Thane and Dunks drive home. The Rock.